Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
An Erios production.
Welcome to Foxy Browns. I'm Camilla.
I'm Priyanka, and this is a podcast that navigates beauty and wellness from our perspectives as women of color.
This week, like every week, we're talking stuff and things, tips and tricks, and, you know, casually deconstructing Western beauty standards. And this week, we are joined by our very special guest, who is also staying in my pool house, Bolu Babaloa.
Hello. Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Bolu. Your pool house / our recording studio.
Absolutely. It's a multitasking.
It's a very versatile space.
Yeah.
So Bolu is a comedy writer based on, and a novelist, yeah, and a writer and all kinds, yeah, of things. Ex-lawyer. Not even.
I didn't make it that far. My granddad passed, yeah, away thinking I was a lawyer.
That's all you
did. It was just too complicated to explain.
Worth it.
That I make things up for a living. So
he died so happy.
Yeah, exactly. Aww. It was my gift to him. Yeah.
So. My parents used to tell everyone that I was a lawyer, like forever, yeah, forever and ever. It's the only, I get it.
They understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So how do you guys know each other?
We are literally strangers from the internet. Met on Twitter.
I love her on Twitter. Not to be like so annoying, but I love you on Twitter.
Thank you so much.
What is that about?
It's so weird.
You found your voice. It's like
really
a beautiful thing.
Because like I just tweet what comes to my mind.
It's a wonderful
but
mind.
It's a thing where like I've literally met some of my best friends through Twitter.
Me
like,
too.
Because you're just talking.
Yeah.
Like, also, wait. Every day.
I was thinking about this on the way over here. When I moved to LA, I didn't know any other people of color and not that many women of color. And I met a couple. And now on Twitter, I'm like, hey,
that's exactly it. I think when we're in the space that we're in, we're so often the only women of color in the room that you're like kind of seeking that family and, yeah, that kinship. And then you see it online because we bond over like Beyonce.
Exactly.
So it was
even something about like a sense of humor, like, yeah, a little, just like,
exactly,
something,
just like, and also,
right,
just like cultural inside jokes and, yeah, right, like kind of like diaspora jokes. And also just like, you know, being, aggrieved about the same thing.
Yeah.
Just kind of like general.
Can you believe it?
But it's also the things that you cannot talk about when you are the only one in your workplace.
Exactly.
Yeah. And but then you have this curated group of like, you know, 400 friends online who all understand, yeah, you and share the same things. You're like, yo, this
exactly
guy at my work
that
has just said this really messed,
exactly,
up thing,
yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah, and you, yeah, bond over that. And you speak, yeah, to each other every day because, yeah, a lot of us are just working from our bedrooms or like, yeah, a home office.
Absolutely.
And I was saying to Cam, it was like, you're just, it's like the water cooler.
Yeah.
Like, you just like, your colleagues. And like, so,
he's
like,
so right,
real friendships.
I remember when I came to my first job, I'm not going to name any names, but they were like, oh, well, you're Indian, and like, here are some other Indians. And I met them and I was like, oh, we have nothing in common. I can't hang out with you. You're a moron and you're, I don't know what you are. But I found, I mean, I hate to say it, but I feel like I was so many years into my career when I met Camilla. And Camilla was the first, maybe the first woman of color where I was like, we're in love.
No,
we're in love and we love each other. We're going to be friends forever. And then Camilla, I mean, and now I just like exist on the fringes, first of all, of Black Twitter, because I'm like, what a wonderful party.
Through the windows.
I also exist on the fringes of Black Twitter. I'm terrified of it. I'm like, am I allowed to be here? Because I wasn't here from the ground floor. But
I
dip in and dip out.
Posh accent, so I don't know about that.
I don't want to get too involved. This is a really messy for me.
I'm fully at the party in the corner in like a cute dress. Being like, yay,
there's like so many subgroups of Black Twitter as well. There's like, you know, but American Black Twitter is completely different from British, yeah, Black Twitter, and you
there's
know,
media Black Twitter,
yeah.
There's right.
So it's just, and it all's like, yeah, I think I'm in media Black Twitter,
yeah,
and kind of half of British Black Twitter.
Yeah.
But then it gets to like, okay, guys, you just, what are you talking about? Like, who pays for the date? And I can't do this.
Wait, who pays for the date?
Who pays for the date? Like, okay, so how long is a talking stage?
Wait. Tell me.
So the talking stage is like dating in America, especially like LA, is so different to dating in London. Like, in London, you're just like talking. The talking, well, I don't partake in the talking stages. I don't have time for it.
What is the talking?
But the talking stage is where you just basically are just texting for a very, very, very horrible. It's horrible. And then guys in London aren't as forthcoming in terms of like just, do you want to go for a drink?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And they just don't ask you out. Literally, I think all of my boyfriends in London have been, you know, have born of this way. Us going out in groups of friends and being drunk.
And this is my hypothesis.
If they pass
out
drunk on your sofa three times in a row,
that's
you're
dating.
Then you're in a relationship.
You're in a relationship.
That's how that works. Like, oh, you're my boyfriend. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
No.
And if they claim you on their social media,
that's a whole other
different level. You're married.
I met my husband way before most of the internet.
Jealous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had our we met at a party, and then he found me on Facebook. That's the only thing.
Cute.
Yeah. So he messaged me on Facebook, and he was talking nonsense. I was just like, "What are you?"
They often do.
Yeah. He was just talking and talk for days, and then I was finally just like, "It's Wednesday," and he was like, "What do you mean?" And I was like, "Well, I'm not giving you a weekend. I don't know you that well. So do you want to hang out or what are we doing here?" And he was like, "Okay, tomorrow, blah, blah, blah." And then we went out for a drink and then, you know, we got married. But the banter, are you kidding me?
I can't do it. That's why I guess I just don't date. Cause I'm like, I don't have time to talk for months on end. Like, just
months?
Ask me out.
Wait.
Some people do months.
No, it's very, very, I am not.
I'm just like, you either ask me out or you don't. Otherwise, like, what are we doing? Like, I have shit to be doing. Like, well, like, I don't.
I can't actually wrap my mind.
Of me and Doug compared to dating British men, which again is like talking or nothing, or again just passing out drunk and doing ketamine together. And it's like, but months. Going, it was like, we will go on a first date where we all have drinks. We will have some drinks
and acknowledge that. It's a
I will ask you to a concert for the second date.
Right. In the UK,
then we will go to a show.
Nice.
And then, and it's very, yes, it
in
was like
UK
a line.
Like, drinks.
Yeah.
But does this count on a date? I don't think it counts as a date. Like, it's just like so many formalities.
Oh, it's so boring.
That's why I have to move here.
All you want is someone who sees you and is like, I have to be with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's really important.
The energy.
I have to be with you when we're done.
And I don't want to waste time in case anyone else is like, you know, tries it. So let me just like...
But
just
I don't intentionally know. Spending time with you.
Intention.
And that's it. It's like, you know, I don't necessarily believe that you have to know immediately that your person is your person.
No. Just like,
but
do you want
to there's something
like,
about this person that I want to get to know and I want to spend time with them and you let them know.
Yes, in an absolute term.
Clear way.
To like...
I mean, but you're such a bully. You're such a. I mean, you're amazing.
Thank you.
How are we can't have this conversation. We can't be like, why are you saying it's because men suck? We know why. We know why.
It's also not because men suck. You're on your grind.
Yeah.
The goals.
If that's what, I mean, have you been single for a little while? Are you like taking a break right now? Like, what's
Well, I was seeing someone earlier this year, but now I'm taking a break because I was like, I just can't, I need the energy reciprocated and I'm so busy. It's actually a blessing where like, it makes me more discerning with who I want to spend my time with. And if you can't just give me the energy, then I really, I'm not going to try. Like, it's just too much. Like,
I don't want to agree with that approach.
Yeah. And I don't want to like,
I have always hated this, like, I'm gonna get mad. It's like, you got to put yourself out there and you got to know
what
you
mean.
No, it's like being a freaking
it's
taxi
like when
cab.
Someone says go for it.
Taxi cab with your light on in like an empty neighborhood driving around the block, like no, that's not fair. Like,
exactly.
Go on with your life, and if some guy wants to like
precisely
and should be obsessed with you,
exactly, just rightly obsessed,
he should be so lucky.
Exactly.
Also, general just disinterest is just the most attractive thing in the world.
Right. Exactly. It's... like, I can take you or leave you. Yeah. Like,
they're like, what's wrong with me?
Don't need you.
So, were you born and raised in London?
Yes, I was born and raised in London. Mm-hmm. When I was seven, my father just and my mother took us to Nigeria for the first time.
Seven. Wow. And your parents are both Nigerian?
Parents are both Nigerian. Yeah. My mom came to London when she was 17. Wow. She like put herself through. She's the youngest, well, the youngest girl of five kids. Mm-hmm. And by the time it was her turn, like the money had run out. So yeah. She basically put herself through university. Yeah. Terrible. Yeah. She put herself through university. Like she was clearly doing all sorts of jobs. And then my father, they actually met in school and they were best friends till 18. And he went to university in Lagos and then he came in Nigeria and he came back when maybe he finished to meet my mom. And then they got they went back to get married.
What
and they
did
started
they study?
My dad is a lawyer, well, by profession. And my mom studied biochemistry.
Of course.
And now
course.
She's, yes. And now she's a science teacher. Head of biology. So they're very like, they're scientists and lawyers, very traditional.
Wait, they met when they were super young and then they got married. How young were they when they got married?
25 and 26.
That's like so normal for like their sort of. And then how many siblings do you have?
I'm the eldest of three.
Yeah.
So I have a 25-year-old sister and I have a 20-year-old sister who is like...
So, what are we going to say?
She's just so she's way more put together than I was at her age. Like,
that's
like,
not fair, is it? They just know better. No, they know better.
Right, and
my brother is so stylish and he's so it's not fair. It's not
fair. When she steals my clothes, I feel so happy.
Here's the thing. They are put together because they have watched you grow up.
Yeah.
They have led your example.
This is what I say. This is my influence. Exactly.
You raised them.
Exactly.
And there was something great on Twitter the other day. It was basically that older sisters need to unionize.
Yeah.
I was like, absolutely. Oh my God. Wait. And then the follow-up tweet was also we should get unionized healthcare because of the weight that we carry.
Oh
on our
my
backs.
Gosh, my back, the backache, it's a lot. I'm like, call my dad. Can you call your sister because she's not picking up? And I pick up, can you just call dad, for goodness sake.
You know, I sent your brother an email the other day. This girl, she lives in Chicago, and could you just call and check if he's emailed her? If he has any plans, I'm like, what are you?
Why? What
about?
Are you saying right now?
33 years old.
But so I feel very validated when she steals my clothes because I'm like, oh wow, I'm trendy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you went to law school and then you were like, peace
and then
out.
I was like, bye. The good thing about that is that my parents are very, very supportive. I think I only did law because they were like, okay, just get a law degree and then you can do whatever you want. That was
nice.
The deal.
That's nice. Very progressive.
They were very progressive for Nigerian parents. Yeah. And I ended up in PR. Hated it oh my God.
What
I was
kind
like,
of PR were you doing?
It was consumer PR. My clients were a beauty and skincare brand and a headphone brand. And I remember one day the beauty brand had like a campaign where it was like women in bikinis on the tube just walking around like handing out free shit. And then I was looking around, I was like, what? And I was like escorting them or whatever. And I was like, what is my life right now? What am I doing?
Yeah.
This is not what I want to do. Because I thought, okay, PR is like a good entryway to the creative industries, but it's not.
But you think it is.
You think it is. Everyone thinks it is. And it's like, you're beholden to the client's vision completely, what that vision looks like.
But I think that's the thing, right? Like when you come in a super like traditional, like super educated household, you don't, that's not even a possibility. Like there's no creative profession that's a possibility.
Exactly.
So
how do I access
that's why
them.
I was an agent, which was like an inch away from being a lawyer.
Right.
So
you're
know?
A little
and
bit then corporate.
Like, and then I like, yeah, and then I became a producer and then I started writing. But like, it's just not, I mean, you were probably, if what happened to you didn't happen to you, I don't even know where you would be, but you started writing right away, right, Camilla?
Yeah, I was pretty lucky. I started on Skins when I was like 19.
It's wild.
And I basically deferred university for a year to go and do this and just told like my family.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, I'm just taking a gap year. But in my heart, I knew, I was just like, I'm never coming back.
Why would you?
Yeah. And, you know, I was very, you know, I think I was also kind of very lucky in that I was such a terror and I was so headstrong that my family also knew at that point that they couldn't like control me.
Older sisters. Any way.
So it's just like, I'm just going to be a writer now. And that was it. And so they're like, okay, this is weird.
Yeah. You were young enough that you could just come back.
And I absolutely did. Yeah. And like after I did like the first, like first season half of Skins, I left and then worked for a hedge fund.
No.
I did.
You didn't know this.
Well, I finished Skins and I was.
You monster.
I basically, at that point, I was like, oh, I've done, you know, I've I was done like, it. Oh, working in TV is that easy. I've just done it. But there was some kind of part of me that was, that kind of wanted the validation of actually having a proper job. Right. And I was like, I've missed that part. I didn't go to university.
Jesus
so I actually
Jesus Christ. So you so were like, I got to go work at a hedge fund.
Yeah. Like the complete polar opposite.
Super hilarious. It was so fun. So yeah, when I first started working for the hedge fund, I was doing like marketing admin. So marketing the actual four funds within this thing. And then I basically realized, well, I'd always been really fascinated with economics. Sure. And I thought, oh, this is really interesting. And this seems kind of, you know, like a proper job.
Well, as a writer, then, you're curious about the world. So you're like, okay, so how does this work?
Exactly. I was just like, oh, I'm researching and having, so in love with it. And then after about 6 months, I got a bit bored and they realized I was quite bored. And then all of the, I was saying the other day, like all of the hedge fund managers, whose lives are incredibly boring and all they want is like approximation to art. First of all, they kind of, I remember my interview when the Vincent, who was the co-head of the fund, so I was like, oh, you used to be a writer? It's like, I went to, I did the Robert McKee story.
No,
course, one weekend.
No.
And I genuinely think he hired me because he, you know, felt in some way that he was having some closeness.
Like a creative experience.
And then after a while, because I was just so bad at my job, because I was so bored at that point, they just started letting me curate the office art collection, which was amazing.
Yeah.
I still have to this day some of the best buyer relationships of any in all of the London galleries and auction houses. They spent so much of their money. And it was also pre-crash, which was great. So I did that for a little bit.
Good info.
Yeah, it was like, but then after I was just like, no, I don't want to do
it. But it's good you tried it out.
Yeah, I checked it out.
It was a hypothesis.
Yeah.
You crossed it off your list like we're moving on.
But my family were happy for a little while and that it was like, oh, this is the proper job. This is something we can explain to our friends.
Because always, what are we going to say to our friends, right?
My dad, who was a lot more artistic, this was his largest shame. When we'd go out for dinner, he was just like, oh, she works in finance.
Well, what is
just
your... under-
oh, really?
Oh, I was like the scum. I was like the absolute scum. I was the man, which was great.
Well, finance in London especially is just such a... New York is ruined.
Sorry, tacky.
New York is ruined. Yeah. It's awful. It's awful. So how did you work your way into writing?
How did it even happen? Okay, yeah. So I was at the PR place. I remember that. I think one day I got pulled into the office because I was just so visibly just depressed by just the environment of this fakeness.
Yeah.
And my line manager, who was the worst, like, you know, like the like a parody of a mean, like a media bitch that makes you cry in the toilets. She was like that.
Yeah. And what's that show, Kelly Catrone?
The self-importance
is shocking.
One time like, she said
such a small world. Yes. Your world is this big.
It's like everything is super important, and then you're like, it's a creep.
What was that PR reality show? Kelly Catrone. She was like
the Hills. It was
the City. There was a spin-off. And she wrote that book. It was like, if you want to cry in the hallway or the bathroom or something.
It was pretty much like that. And I was like, why? We're just in a tiny office.
There was
in Soho.
A very specific. I remember. I guess I can talk about this. When I was an agent, we would always talk about like British agents. And you know them. They leave at 5 and they're always on holiday. There was only
at 5.
Like, but like every British agent's like, everything's falling apart and everything's so important. It's like, you leave at 5 every day and you're always on holiday.
She called me on Sunday about paper. Like not ordering paper, like printing paper. And I was like, I remember I was in Barcelona. I was like, she was like, did you order the paper? I was like, yeah. And I was like, it's like this. And she was like, well, next time leave proper instructions for us to find the paper. And I was like, you know what, I can't
be here.
That was like the beginning of the end. One time she sent me a press release to send out, there's a typo, and I was like, oh, should I send this with the typo, but it's for me? So I was like, okay, I'm gonna change this typo.
Yeah.
And she was so angry. She was like, how dare you
do your job correctly,
right? And then one day she pulled me into this is the day that I was like, I'm gonna quit. She was like, frankly, Bolly, like, I don't know how to put it, but like, you're not fake enough. Like, yeah, she literally said that.
She
like,
said the word, you're not fake enough.
Because I can see what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And how that's not
you,
good.
How could you expose yourself so badly?
Right.
And I was like, you're not fake
you're
enough.
You're not fake enough.
Like, so you're
then, yeah. Right. And I was like, cool. Literally 2 minutes later, I went to the bathroom and texted my parents, I'm quitting. Yeah. So kind of, I trust their opinions and I know they support me and I don't want to make any decisions yeah. without them being like, okay, cool. And I think they saw that it was just not happy in the job and they were yeah. like, which I like give them credit for forever. And they were like, do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So then I quit. Yeah. And it's really like for Nigerian parents, they were like, now I look back at it, I think I took it for granted because they've been my parents my whole life.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're very cool. Like they were just like, we know what makes you happy. And, you know, we know that you put your all into what you want to do. So if you're not happy, just like, just quit. So I did that and I temped.
That
and
is
then,
very cool.
And it's also, I think, you know, when you know that you're, child is hardworking and determined, that it doesn't necessarily matter what they're applying themselves to, that they're going to learn.
It's not my experience. Why did anyone in my life, if anyone in my life had recognized that I was relentless and would be fine, that would have been a nice boost. But
No, absolutely. I'm just saying that I think that, you know, Bolly's parents identified. They were just like, she's a grafter. She's going to work really hard.
She was also like, I'm quick. So I was like,
and that's why they're very progressive. They're amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really weird because they shouldn't be because they're so like.
You were expecting a different
result. Yeah, exactly.
My grandparent, my grandmother was still trying to get me to work at the Inland Revenue Service a few years ago. And I was like...
A few years ago?
Like, no, it was before I moved to LA. I was like, I was just like, my show is literally on that billboard.
So then what? So then when did you get reading?
And then I randomly was like, okay, so I was temping and I was just watching a lot of Parks and Recreation and The Office. And I was just like... Because I've always written, like, stories in school. I used to write stories to get passed around the class. Like, it was like a weekly, like, a soap.
Really?
Written in Comic
Sans. Like installments?
Yeah.
I love this.
There was one called, like, Summer Lovin' with an N and, like, an apostrophe. Summer Lovin'.
What?
In Comic Sans. The font was size 14. And it was, like, weirdly Americanized. I'm from East London. And there was a lot of, like, you jerk in it, which made no sense because that is not how people spoke around me. But I watched a lot of the OC.
You're trying.
Yeah,
right.
I love, were you printing these out and distributing them?
Yeah. And they were like,
do you still have them? Do you have them, Shel?
Yeah, I do have them.
Can we post one?
When I get back to London,
please,
we've
got to have
Lovin'.
I have scans somewhere, so I'll definitely send them to you.
Please. We're posting Summer Lovin' in media.
Summer Lovin', like the main guy was
like
called
a lot
Trey,
of data. Oh,
with
Trey.
His like, I think I wrote like his caramel brown skin.
Even the shade or the shade of the skin.
So then I was progressive. I was like, they're going to have a black love interest. Like, I'm going to mix it up.
But he is going to be caramel.
Yeah. But he's going
to
be caramel.
I will
say. Still has stuff to work through.
It has to be widely appealing.
I will say, I have a friend who got her, who is a pretty successful TV writer now, but she got her first job on a TV show because of her blog, which was Imaginary Text Conversations with Drake.
Oh my god, that sounds incredible.
It was incredible. It's a great blog and it's
great.
It's so fantastic.
I need to find that. I need to go on that.
Vanessa McGee.
I mean, it's imaginary text conversations with Drake. That's not gonna that's incredible.
So cool.
It's exceptional.
Sometimes people just need to know you have an imagination.
Exactly.
Yeah. 50 Shades of Grey fan fiction can go all the way.
Okay, so you were handing out these stories at school.
Yeah. So that's what I've always written, and then I was watching Parks and Recreation.
And then you got a book deal.
Straight away. Straight away that happened.
You're on episode 3 and your friend's like...
Exactly. But it's like when you're... Like what were you saying? Like when you're brought up in a certain way, very like... corporate success.
Yeah. Reliable.
It takes a while to realize all the artistic avenues that you can take.
Yeah.
So for a while I was like, okay, I want to write a book one day. And then when I was watching Parks and Recreation and The Office, I was like, oh, maybe I can write a show one day. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I really love TV as much as I like books.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility. And randomly literally in the junk mail the next day I found opportunity for the BBC as a creative assistant or something. And I was like,
God is real.
Yes.
What? applied for that, got it, and then I became a production assistant at the BBC Comedy.
Wow.
And then I worked a few sketch shows and
amazing.
Then assistant producer, and then meanwhile I did a short story for this Guardian, which is a newspaper in Britain, a short story competition. I applied to that and I got shortlisted, and then a lot of attention started happening, and then I got signed to my agents, and then like my TV agent was like, oh, would you want to write for TV? And I was like,
when was all this?
So this was about 2016.
Wow, recently. Yeah.
And then, but it all happens like within like 6 to 9 months.
Once you put it out there. Yeah. Like,
and I was like, what? And I was also doing my master's at UCL in American politics and history. So it was like all of this stuff was happening. And I was like, okay, maybe I should quit my day job. Because at that time I was like bored. And it was like, there was not a lot of career progression in the space that I was in. So I was like, maybe I should just like do this. And then I started doing it. And then I started writing like pop culture writing and stuff like that, and then it just snowballed, I guess.
And as you're speaking about pop culture as well as also then doing your master's, let us why don't you tell us the title of your dissertation, which I've read, and it is
you've read the dissertation.
I have.
What is it? I would like
let me hear. Let me try if I think let me see if I can remember the title exactly. It's how Black women have redefined their identities by using musical performance, something like that. And it was based on Lemonade. Basically it was like, Lemons to Lemonade, how Black women have redefined it.
Lemonade.
Yeah. I forgot the important part. It was Lemons to Lemonade.
She wrote a dissertation.
I got
on Beyonce.
On Beyonce. Essentially. And the thing is, it was really funny because I studied American politics and history. And then
Lemons to Lemonade.
Yeah. And I specialized in African American history. And Black feminism.
Of all things.
And then I basically wrote every essay about Beyonce. I was like, daddy lessons, how it relates to country music, Southern Black women, how Beyonce is literally. And I was so lucky tutor was like a Black woman, and she was like,
That's so wonderful.
I was getting highest marks, and it was great. I'm like, this is the best degree ever. Paper. Yeah, because I hated my law degree. So I was like, let me do something that I actually enjoy. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was fun. It was actually the best time, because I was just watching loads of like Beyonce videos.
Okay, so sorry to like turn it back a few notches, but growing up,
yes,
you're the oldest in a family of three.
Yes,
your mother is, describe your mother.
She's really strong, really forthright, really
beautiful,
really beautiful, really beautiful.
Was she your standard of like
and my mom's very like, she's not like, I need to put loads of makeup on. She's like, I'll wear red lipstick and I'll wear mascara, and that is it, because I'm beautiful. That's all I need.
Look at the rest of me.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the vibe in our house too. It was like, never makeup on your face. Just like little mascara and lipstick, and that is it. You're out the door.
Might wear some mascara, but like, watch out, world.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's gonna.
I put on my eyeliner. It's too much.
Right. Yeah, she hates that I wear foundation, because like, you don't need it. Like, you just need powder. No, I don't, mom. It doesn't work that way anymore. But I respect your
journey.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Well, you're obviously like an incredibly intelligent woman. You've done a lot, but like, what was the kind of beauty aspect of like growing up in your household? Was it high maintenance? Was it kind of clearly not, because your mother was like, throw out
the lipstick. Wasn't high maintenance. My mom was always like, you're all beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was like, and a lot of people talk about colorism in their family and stuff like that, because I'm dark skinned, but my mom was always like, dark is beautiful, black. She's lighter than me. She's like several shades lighter than me. But she's like, black is beautiful, blah, blah. Yeah. And you don't need anything to make you more beautiful. So I think that's where like I get my confidence from, because I never was like, felt like I was
less than. Who was someone that you like outside of your family, like in the kind of actual world, because you know, obviously the images you look at that inform so much more from than what you have at home, who were some people that you found beautiful or were like, that's so like, if Beyonce. I could be you.
obviously
Beyonce, but like obviously even like Beyonce. Like prior to
okay so this is a very specific
The more specific the better. Let's hear it.
So in Coming to America, the sister in Coming to America.
Yep, my favorite movie. It's same,
of course. The younger sister in Coming to America, I can't remember her name.
The sassy younger sister.
Like the little gold digger. Right. Looking for this answer.
I know, yeah.
The gold digger, and look at that.
She was dark skinned, and she was so funny and so like vibrant and so that's confident. Wonderful. And I was, and I watched that when I was young, but I was like, oh, I want to be just like her.
Yes.
Not like the princess he married, ended up marrying.
She was so boring. She was so light skinned and boring.
Exactly. And I was like, what's going on here? Yeah. So, and I was like, wow, she's so cool. Yeah. Like the big hair.
Yeah.
And then Lisa Turtle and Saved by the Bell, I really, really love. And obviously Kelly Rowland. of course, Kelly Rowland.
Patrice?
Abs.
Yeah, Patrice.
Oh my God.
Patrice.
She was so, and again, a very Lisa Turtle vibe.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like very bright pinks and lawyers.
Exactly, layers, and very confident.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We talk about this a lot. It's like growing up in a world that's like Cindy Crawford's beautiful or whatever.
Mm.
Our like beauty or sense of self is so often rooted in just confidence. How do you like technically this is a podcast about beauty, right? But like in wellness, but it really all comes down to like, when did you find your confidence?
Completely.
Like, when did you decide that like
you are Peng?
You are Peng. You think it's
you
like,
are Patrice.
I think so. When I was I went to a girl's school. So when I was younger, I never really thought about it that much. Yeah.
Did you all go to girl's schools?
No, I never went to a single sex school.
You did.
Oh, actually, no. My first primary school was all girls. It was boys and girls, but we were separated class wise.
I thought you're
in that, yeah.
I thought your high school didn't. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Mm-hmm. But that helps, I think.
Yeah, it helps because I was just like really just doing nerd shit with my friends. Yeah. I was like literally like writing skits of I wrote a skit of Pride and Prejudice called Pimp and Prejudice or something. Or like Pemberley was called Pimperly or something like that.
Shut up.
No. And Mr. Bingley was called Mr. Blingley.
No.
For real. And I did a rap. I wish I could remember it. I did so many things. Like, I was doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. And I'm glad because I feel like it was nothing to bounce against. Yeah, exactly. And I was a romantic. And I was like, you know, looking at the boys from across the boat. It was never like, because it wasn't right in front of my face. Yeah. I wasn't really like, I didn't really care about that stuff. But when I went to uni, I was like, oh,
Mr.
this is.
Mr. Blingley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need to find it. If I find it, I'll send it to you guys.
All of it.
But yeah. And then I was like, oh, this is different, and that's when I experienced colorism for the first time, because I was like I didn't clock what it was, but I was like, oh, all my friends are like all my lighter friends are getting low attention, and I sat with that and I was like, oh, that's what, because I think I was just very sheltered in my other
in a
school
good way, maybe.
Like, yeah, my school was like just predominantly South Asian and black, and so it was just like and it was a girls' school as well, and then the mixed school is the same. So when I went to uni, I was like, oh, this is different. This is like completely different. And then I was like, okay, so I can either be really like down about this, which is like not helpful to, I think this is like my mom coming through, and my dad as well, actually. And then I was like, oh, I can just be like, well, I know I'm not unattractive, so I'm
incredibly beautiful. Is the thing.
And then I was like, well, I can either be really down about this, or I can just be like, just I'm beautiful and it's their problem. Like, and also I was just very like, have you seen Booksmart? Yeah. I was like the girl in Booksmart where I was like, just very focused on like just getting. I was like, and I hated my degree. So I was like, let me just get this out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was also writing like several novels that nobody will ever read because it was so terrible. So I was always writing. I was just very nerdy. And I played guitar. Oh, it's so embarrassing. I also played guitar and I did spoken word and I wrote songs. No. They were really, really terrible.
Didn't we all?
Right.
The Laurel
I used
Hill.
To wear like, no, seriously. I used to wear, I had my braids all the time and I had like a beanie hat that I used to wear. It was so embarrassing.
This is the Malaysia influence. So it was like the only black teen girl show. Actually, no, we had Sister as well. But yeah, that's a very Malaysia vibe.
Yeah. It was like completely like a Marisha vibe. And I was like, well, I'm just on my shit. So like, and also I didn't really like anybody. So I was like, that's, okay, fine. Yeah. But yeah, it was then I was just like, well, I'm just going to be myself and like people will either catch up or not. Yeah, and I just like, it was just like,
it's
just,
what it is, right?
Yeah. And it's just logic. Like if someone doesn't like me for whatever reason, then I'm just clearly not, like, I'm not going to pine over them.
This is an entire episode, but I was just talking to someone about being likable. And
what's that? What does that mean?
It's not a brown girl thing, I'll tell you that.
No.
The only people who are, like, at all worried about, like, do people like me? So white girls like, I'm sorry, Maria. But it's true.
Because it's like there's so it's many true. Reasons that the world doesn't like you anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
So why would you bother?
The world doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, so it's like, this is not a thing that I can exactly. be focused on. It's not going to happen. I'm just focused on
you might as well just be me.
A friend of mine online was like, nobody cares in my town what you do as long as like you're, you know, as long as someone says nice things about you at your funeral. And I was like, no.
But you'll be dead then. Yeah, who cares?
Who cares?
That's something that my dad always said, actually. Because we're all girls, but my dad is like, I don't know, he just basically brought us up like we were his, like, the same way that Nigerian men will bring up their sons, like, for the way my dad brought us up. Totally. And he was just like, I don't want any of you to be nice. Like, what is, like, he always said it jumped into my mind.
Yes.
What is nice? Like,
what is that?
Indian too? Yeah. Nice is always said in this very, like, oh, poor thing.
Yeah, exactly.
She's so nice.
Yeah. What does that mean? Poor thing.
Yeah. It means gullible,
appeasing,
tragic.
Yeah. Nice is a like pejorative in an immigrant household.
It's
an
insult. If someone described me as like just nice, I would be offended. Yeah,
so upset. So I was like, offended. Wow.
Yeah, so.
Someone once said that my rating was sweet and I wanted to die.
No, that's rude.
So rude.
I hope you fought them.
Unless you're writing a children's book, I just don't even.
But then once
even
I realized they meant surprisingly sweet because they thought I was
true.
Oh, okay.
That's better.
That's okay. That's acceptable.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, so going from your household with your mum being quite low maintenance, just like lives in mascara, what was, and also when I speak to you on, like, you know, like on Twitter, we talk about beauty products. What was the first beauty product that you remember buying or being excited to buy?
Yeah. Okay, so my mum always used to wear Fashion Fair because that was like the only thing accessible to our skin tones.
Yeah.
It's like a, I think it's actually American, but it's like basically a specifically... a makeup brand for black people. Yeah.
And this
or
is
brown
like the
people,
first
black and brown people. Yeah. And that was
it's terrible quality.
Yeah.
It's chalky and awful and it's just completely. And the skin is terrible. Yeah.
And in the 90s, that was like all that was just basically available to us.
Yeah.
But I couldn't afford that. Yeah. That was like in all the department stores. Yeah. So then I got Sleek, which I don't know if you have Sleek here. And it was like,
I don't know Sleek.
Sleek is, yeah. So that is that's for black and brown people as well.
Yeah.
And it was like £7 or £8 of pressed powder. It was my 16th birthday. So I was really excited.
Yes.
And I borrowed my mom's red lipstick and I wore mascara. I look terrible in pictures. My eyebrows were, I did my eyebrows for the first time. They were really, really thin. And I was wearing this, like, this prom dress. It was like, but yeah, that was the
first
time.
I can already
time.
See it.
Yeah. I thought I looked so hot. I was wearing these, so, like, where I lived was near the South Asian markets and stuff like that. So we went into, like, a shop and got, like, you know, those sandals with the heels.
Yeah.
With the diamantes.
Yeah.
Unfamiliar.
Yeah. And I got those and I felt so powerful.
That's all that matters.
It was a mess. Exactly. But yeah, that was the first. It was a pressed powder that was like way too orange.
Yeah. No.
Of course.
This is why we talk about this. This is why I never wore makeup because there wasn't any for
our faces. It was not my color.
And I'm not even like...
Yeah.
I'm like, what, do Italians? I'm like basically Italian. Italians not wear makeup.
But like, it's like they just don't capture like your undertone.
They just can't. Yeah. They can't figure it out.
Yeah. It's pretty rough.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now that you're grown up.
Yes.
What's your thing?
So I really love like a dewy look, which is I shouldn't really because I think I have like an oily skin.
You look like you're wearing nothing.
But
you're
wearing nothing. This, look, this like is all day nothing. Makeup. So this is like I put this on at like 8. Like leaning
in. This is incredible. Okay.
Yeah, I put it on at 8. Yeah. So it's all gone now. It was not. It was NARS.
Just tell us what it is.
It was NARS, but it's gone now.
NARS does makeup for black skin so incredibly. Really it has some for a very long time. Know.
Very surprising. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I like a dewy look. I think from my mother, I just love lipstick so much. So I'm like, those people are like eyeshadow girls. I'm more of a lipstick girl.
You know what? I'm going to say something. I have very thin lips, so I never even think about lipstick. But if I had like a more...
It really makes a difference.
But like your lips have such a beautiful shape.
No. You don't have like thin lips. You actually have a nice shape. Yeah.
You have like a perfectly... There is... People pay hundreds of dollars to get this shape of your lip injected in here. You have great lips.
Yeah. I do like a glossy lip as well.
I don't lead with
the glossy lip is coming
I lead
back.
With my personality. Is it working?
And also,
is it
working? Her personality. She's also breathtakingly beautiful.
And my children.
She's like, my personality. No. Also, I look like Helena fucking Troy.
Ooh, like,
yes. You're stunning. It's annoying.
My mother, let's like take a step back. No one, I'm telling you, no one in my family, in my whole life, ever told me that I look good. In that's, my whole...
It was just not... But, like,
wasn't
your
done.
Family aunt. Like,
it just wasn't done.
No, but I sent a picture to my sister. They were like, I look Emily Lay. And she was like, wow, you actually look good. Like, in the scathing way that only a 20-year-old could say. And I was like, okay, you know that's, like, high praise.
Because now with child rearing, they're like, okay, so if you have a girl, it's really important to tell them that they're, like...
You
love to watch them this climb or... I don't know, whatever. But you don't tell them they're beautiful because then they're going to think that's important. I was like, I could have
maybe just one time told me I was beautiful. Maybe just one time,
I don't know. When my parents called me beautiful, I was just like, it didn't seem superficial to
them. You think so? You're my parents.
Yeah, that's true.
I look like you.
Yeah. Exactly. That's very true. Like, my dad is so happy when people say that I look like him. I was like, aww. I'm always like, no.
Because you're a man. Why is that
exactly?
Why is that so hard to understand? My father too is like, you look. I'm like, you're also a man.
I look like the absolute spitting image of my dad, which is ridiculous. I mean, he's also very handsome, so it's fine.
I'm
like,
so
he's got great cheekbones.
Meet him,
but it's also, you know, you look at Daisy and Blue, and just like, it's you look ridiculous. Just. I was like, but you're still very beautiful. I get it.
Yeah,
you know, it just jumps
exactly.
Out.
Jay-Z. Yeah. Like, she looks exactly like Jay-Z.
Yeah.
They all look like their dads at the beginning because there's something biological about it. I've heard where, like, because you want the babies to be born and the dads to be like, that's my baby.
Oh, yeah.
I read that too.
It could be totally fake, but I will say both of my kids came out looking like my husband.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. We'll see. And then they just.
And then the melanin jumped out.
not with the daughter, though, yet.
Yet.
I feel like you can still tell. You can still
see. She is very.
Yeah.
It's because I keep dressing her in like Indian ball gowns.
You're Indian. You never forget.
A little bindi on her and we're done. I would do it. I'll absolutely do it. So lately we talked then about like tips and tricks. Like, what are you into at the moment? NARS is great. That's a good tip. I had no idea.
So it's summer. So normally when I'm in the UK, summer. Whatever, and it's like every day, I don't want to wear foundation every day. So basically, and there's also no BB cream for my skin tone. They're always
they don't have enough pigment in them.
Right.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
The BB cream is like the sort of... It's kind of like a light moisturizer.
Just something like a tint. Like a tint,
yeah.
It's like a tint.
Okay. Yeah. Like a tinted moisturizer.
But basically.
But why is it called the BB cream? I'm a moron.
I can't remember.
I made that up.
Sure.
I don't know why it's called a BB cream.
I could just Google it.
I only discovered it like last year and I was like, I don't want to wear foundation every year because first of all, it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a bit ridiculous. So,
and also, it's just terrible for your skin.
For your skin, exactly. Yeah. You just don't want to make that effort. So if I'm going to have a day, like I have a week with loads of meetings, I'm like, okay, I don't want to wear foundation every day, but also don't want to look like I just came out of bed. So and also there's no BB cream for me. So I made up a like concoction.
Tell us more.
So
yes,
it's my,
I love the DIY.
These are our favorite things.
Okay.
Yeah. Truly, like anything free is great.
Exactly. So it's like any facial moisturizer that you could, that you love. So it could be anything.
And what is the facial moisturizer that you love?
Okay, I can't remember the word. I think it's La Roche-Posay.
Yes.
I think that's what it's called.
The one, very moisturizing one.
Exactly. Yeah. I used that when I had less money. I used, there's a shop in the UK called Superdrug, which
love
is
like of course. Drug. Yes, so yes, yes. Yeah, the best.
And they have their own brand line, has really great moisturizers that are really, like, they're stupid. They're like £3, £4, £5, whatever, and they're always having
that's even cheaper
deals
than the ordinary.
Exactly. And R. they're R. very R. intensely moisturizing. They're really good. Yeah. So either that or the Roche, and pump that into a little thing like a squeezy bottle or like a pumpy bottle, and like travel thing. Some sunscreen, which is like I do Glossier Invisible Shield.
It's an excellent
do we like
shield.
It
so I'm good.
I'm a very big fan of it. I think it, I mean, A, it's, again, with having dark skin and doing sunscreen.
You don't
the,
want
those. Yeah, the streaks and the ashiness same, is very, very same. Tough. But it is, yeah, I definitely noticed that it is protecting
like
me
it?
From the sun. I do like it. It doesn't feel oily. It will sometimes leave a little bit, you
the
have,
Casper
I have
thing.
To apply it in the right order.
Yeah.
Okay. If I put it on after my moisturizer, I will look very shiny. But if I put it on under my moisturizer, then it's fine.
I do the La Roche-Posay with the
SPF.
That's
because I do that
do
as well.
Even though the sunscreen is actually better because it's like a barrier, I just look crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's either I do the La Roche-Posay with the SPF, or if I'm using the cheaper cream, I'll use the Glossier.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Good to know.
Yeah. And then I use NYX highlighter, like liquid illuminator in like Sun Goddess or something. But obviously you just choose the one that's according to your skin tone. I use a darkest one, which is like a very bronzy thing. NYX or NYX.
Yes, I've heard of this.
And then a little bit of that, mix it all up. Do I use anything? Oh yeah. And either the ordinary, you can use, I might use NARS, or you could use like the ordinary serum foundation.
People love it, yeah.
But because it's mixed up, you could also use the high coverage thing because it gets diluted. And I mix it up and I just use that every single day, and it just gives me like a really nice glow that isn't too much.
But also provides a little bit of coverage.
Exactly.
Love your coverage. Own mix.
So it's like, it's really good for like your skin, but better makeup, brows, mascara, and you're done. Maybe some like Fenty Gloss Bomb. And then that's you're set for the day.
Bam.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And it's so quick because it's like,
once again, you've done all the legwork of the premix, so then you're not layering things on. It's just in the thing. You just spritz.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, we forgot to talk about Beauty of the Week. Do you have a nomination?
I don't know if you know this person. Her name is Camilla Blackett.
Oh, you know what? She deserves a little snuggle.
Let me tell you why.
Raising her in the air right now.
She's
going to
hate this so much.
This is already horrible.
She's so uncomfortable.
No.
Like, say nice things about her. I only say them over text, and then she's like, emoji, fine, bye. Let's hear it.
Exactly. Let me tell you why.
Because you met on the internet and you're staying at her house.
Number one.
Yeah.
Great. Like, great place.
Good friend.
Number two. Like, so I'm a Black British woman in the UK in the beginning of a career, and it's really important to see somebody who has actually, like, done it.
Yeah.
And has had the guts to do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's really important. Aww. And I don't think people realize that, like...
Just get it together, Camille. I'm going
to bring my tequila over here.
Because you're going to set me off. Because you're looking around...
That's why she's looking at me right now.
Yeah, you're looking around. You're looking for somebody that looks like you and you don't find them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, so what? Like, what? Like, what is the blueprint here? Like, what am I going to do? And it's really important to, like... have someone like she doesn't have to help people like there's so many people who just don't, but she's just got the heart. She just like takes people under her wing. She looks after them, protects them. It's just like such an inspiration. She's gonna make me cry. Don't cry.
Turn around, Jesus.
So that is why.
She's a good girl.
Amazing. She's a really like good girl. It's like it's you don't actually have to. So many people pull like the ladder out from under them.
And that's always been my experience. And it's something that I definitely, you know, again, like growing up in England and trying to do something that is outside of the norm of what you're, like, of what
allowed
your kind of
to
peers
do
and what you're allowed to do. Kind of understanding how to do that has always been difficult. You have to forge that path yourself, yeah. And that's really shit. And then also then reaching out to people who, you know, do it, and they are again the I made it. Mm-hmm. Go, please go away. There's only room. There's only room.
Figure
for,
it out.
For me. Yeah. And it is the things that are so easily and readily accessible to a lot of white people in creative industries that make that easier for them in being able to have, you know, oh, so-and-so's dad can get you an internship here. Or, oh, okay. Oh, you've got to go to New York to do an internship. Oh, it's going to be expensive. Oh, but like, so-and-so's uncle's got a place you can go and stay.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I think that is generally unjust. And so that, you know, if I have the means, I would always want to provide that, and so that you, in 2 years, when you sell your book and it is a fucking bestseller, and
have faith
your
in me.
Oh, I don't bet on losers.
No. Oh yeah. By the way,
you have to make it.
We do not help people who are not going to succeed.
We only
anybody diaspora.
We pluck you from the crowds and go, come with me. You're going to be rich, and then we're going to be friends. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And also then employ us in our retirement so that we can keep our WJ healthcare. Please, thank you. But yeah, in a couple of years when you have the space, you will also be bringing people.
Camilla's always like, oh, so when you're at Sundance, which you will be at, when you're at the Oscars.
But we know, we've seen it.
No, like, but it's really, really important. And unfortunately her, she's enforcing her to be my sister forever. So
that's really
willingly
sweet.
She's stuck so with thrilled. Me. I'm so sorry that he had to find out this way.
Wow, that took 123 ME test, and here we are.
That's a very, very sweet.
Also, like, so my friend was a screenwriter, the one that you met yesterday. Yeah. And so you and you popped in and you left. She as soon as you left, she was like, she's so fucking cool. She's the coolest. Now I know what you were talking about.
I've actually had this conversation with Robbie a few times, my husband. And we talk about the fact that Camilla is very cool.
Yeah, the coolest.
But the thing about Los Angeles is that most people who are cool are so obsessed with being cool that they're not people.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it's like effortlessly.
Camilla, since day one, has felt like such a good... I have very high standards of friendship, and it's like, you better pay it back, you know? And she has always, she's just a really good friend. Yeah. She's a good person and a good friend to everyone that she meets and decides to be friends with. And I feel like this is a nice celebration as she goes off to her wedding.
So much marriage. I like him.
But, you know, let's admit that he's a lucky guy. He's a very lucky guy.
And expresses it every day.
Aww,
it's just like, this is, just to be clear, I'm pleased to be here.
Can I just tell you,
Rodney did the most. My husband, we've been married, I don't know, a million years. 11?
The best.
He's the best in the world. 11 years? We've been together 11 years. Married 8.
So you just sneakily had a 10-year and just didn't tell us?
We got married like 9 years ago. When did we get married? 8 years ago. But he called me today. He's not going to listen to this. He called me and he goes, I just want to tell you something. And I go, what? He goes, you're always right. You're just always right. And I was like, yeah. What do you mean?
But like specifically.
He's like, well, you know how we like talk about this, and you're always right. And I was like,
that's we're so done romantic. Here.
That is my love language.
We're done. Right, I mean, I'll take it back. But like.
Well, my dad did that once. Like, he called me randomly. And I think my granddad just passed away. And he was just randomly talking to me. And he was like, you know what? Your mother is like, she just has my mom is not like a sweet person, but she's a very kind person, right? Exactly.
Yeah. A good person.
And she'll do anything for anyone, but she'll call you an idiot while she's doing it.
Yeah.
And she was like, your mother's like an angel, like not like an angel, but like a nice angel.
Yeah, yeah.
But she was like,
don't do that, mate. Yeah, don't. Like, that's gonna exactly be really dumb if you do that.
Yeah,
trying to keep you alive, mate.
But you know what's kind of funny? That's the thing. Like, I feel like us as like women of color grew up with like women who were like good.
Yeah.
You're like sweet.
Yeah,
not sweet,
yeah,
no, but like, good.
Exactly.
And then we interact with a world that's very like, well, you're not like you this sweet, be, yeah. like sweet face lady. You're not, you know, and like, no, I'm not, but exactly. I will like stab someone for you.
Yeah, yeah right. No exactly. Like, that's exactly
I'm there when it matters and I will do what it takes, yeah. you know, and it's a different.
I mean, who does want to see like this boring? Like,
so boring.
I'm always very suspicious of men who, when they are yes. describing yes. women yes. that they, mm-hmm. the women that they love or that, you know, women that they're into, it's just like, you know, she's so sweet. I'm like,
no, we're not friends.
Here
is here is like the biggest red flag yeah. I have ever heard in my yeah. life is when someone, I swear to you, when people, I have heard men describe women, no joke, as demure.
Yeah, I was gonna say something like people. Someone's like, "Oh, she's humble, like demure. She's like humble.
Yeah,
humble. Yeah, yeah. I've seen that before.
I want to vomit.
Like when he was like, I saw some guy and I was listing all the like attributes of his wife, and he was like, "Yeah, and she's humble," and I was like, "Ugh,
no, thank you.
Ew,
no, thank you.
What is that? Absolutely. No,
no, please. No. Okay, well, guys, we have been talking for 9 years.
Yeah,
we do actually have to wrap it up, but we could end with we could all together do a Rosebud and Thorn, a beauty Rosebud and Thorn.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that?
So Rosebud and Thorn is a game I play with my. It's a game I play with my son, and mm-hmm. when we go to bed, sometimes we play Rosebud and Thorn. It's like the highlight of your week, the saddest part of your week, and the thing you're most looking forward to. But we like to relate it to beauty, so it's a beauty thing you like, something you regretted, and then something you're looking forward to doing.
Okay. Okay. The rose mm-hmm. is going to Sephora and spending like $200.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. the bud. What's the bud again?
The bud is something you're looking forward to, and then the thorn is like a low light.
But also, what did you buy at Sephora for $200?
Okay, what did I get? Okay, so I got a top up of NARS stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then is it cheaper here?
Well, it's kind of cheaper, but like
only important question. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. yeah. I got Anastasia brow mm-hmm. stuff.
Yes, brow yes. people love
stuff
it.
Stuff
yeah.
is awesome.
So good.
Mm-hmm. I think it's not even just that they're saying, it's the brushes.
The brushes are so incredible. Good and they stay on forever.
Yeah. yeah.
It's so good. I got a bunch of Smashbox lipsticks, like matte mm-hmm. lipsticks that were mm-hmm. really, really good. I got a really good red. I got Pat McGrath lip liners. I just spent so much.
Many things.
I got something like exciting. I was like I didn't expect to be that much. So that is my thorn.
Yeah. How about your bed? How about your bed? Now you're trying. Yeah, you want to try it all out
when you're
right?
shopping in America versus England, because all of our tax is built into the actual price.
Yes.
So when you're shopping around, you're mentally kind of totaling something up, and you're like, oh, this seems reasonable. Exactly. And you're like, oh, by the way,
yeah, exactly. So I was like, it's fine. I'm on holiday. It's cool. But yeah, my buddy's like trying all of the stuff that I've got.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be fun. Yeah. What about you?
Okay, beauty thing that I liked this week. I tried these, it's a zip product, and again we've talked about direct marketing with Instagram, that it's the easiest way to make me buy anything. And you've probably seen the zip patches before. They're usually like these little like
I buy them
like
from Korea.
Yeah,
the Cosrx.
Yes, and they're fantastic. They're good. They're very, very good. I often find that sometimes on like a meatier spot that mm-hmm. they don't, it takes a couple of days to work one. So one was coming from my Instagram feed, and it's called Zip Sticker.
I heard about
sticker
this.
Spot with mm-hmm. an A, and I'm like immediately suspicious. But it was so aggressively marketed to me, and it got me at a really slow moment where I had a really big spot on my face, mm-hmm. and I was just like, buy. And also I could buy it with like Apple
Can
Pay.
You just swipe?
So yeah, so it was very quick.
I haven't done that yet. Okay.
Here's the thing. Apple Pay for buying stuff is really dangerous. I nearly bought a Tesla with Apple Pay the other day, and they should not make it that easy. It's really, really hard. Like I was like, I feel like there should be more steps.
That's hilarious.
Like, you can't just swipe up in my car.
Yes, you fucking can.
Wait, excuse me?
Yes, you can.
That's insane.
It's not great. So I forgot and I bought them because it got me a low moment, and they kind of showed up in the mm-hmm. mail, and they've got these little spikes on them. They're very interesting. So they quote unquote penetrate your skin. They kind of dissolve on point. But and it's a two-parter, so it comes with a little wipe which wash off the basically uh-huh. cleanses the bacteria that's around the zit uh-huh. area. Then you place this sticker on with these little spikes, and
they stay on for a very long time. Right, yeah. Like, I washed my face earlier at the gym, forgetting that I had one on. It still stayed on. Mm-hmm. Wow. And it took down meaty.
That's great. Oh, that's so
like
great.
A deep, cheeky, that's so meaty important. One.
The COSRX ones are pretty good, but that sounds great. Yeah. The two-step, I like that. Yeah. I like that.
So, yeah.
That so, was, what did you regret?
What did I regret this week, beauty product week? I regretted, I'm so annoyed with myself. Mm-hmm. There's the Glossier Detox Mask, like the more minerally one. I was so looking forward to applying a mask and getting in the bathtub. And when I reached into the drawer, I realized I hadn't screwed the top on enough the last time. So I reached it completely dried out.
They need like a little thing.
A little thing. Like a little layer. A little guy. Yeah. Just a little guy. So it's very, very sad. So it's rock hard. And I couldn't even rescue it by pouring in some water or anything. So that was very, very saddening. But yeah.
Is there anything you're looking forward to trying?
There is a massage called the Detox, which is in Sherman Oaks. And my friend, actually, who lives in New York, who is in wellness, sent it to me. And it is a place that just specializes in lymphatic drain massage. Mm-hmm. And it is predominantly for body, but they also do a facial as well, which just kind of like apparently takes down puffiness and just like helps circulation. So I'm going to try that before I get on the plane this
weekend.
I
did it because I'm an old lady. I did it because I did Ricari.
Yeah.
I did the Ricari.
Yeah.
I did something. Yeah. I did it before the Oscars.
Yeah.
There you go. It did something. Yeah. Kind of just like.
It just. Pushes.
Got some stuff out.
Yeah. Gets it moving.
Yeah. It's worth it.
Because I always puff up on planes.
Yeah.
We all do. Always. So I'm just trying to preempt it and just.
Yeah. But you'll be there for how long before the wedding?
Like, I've got like a good 4 days. Yeah, so, yeah. Oh, exactly. So, yeah. And then I have.
Magnesium helps.
Definitely magnesium. Yeah. And then I also have a. I was getting a facial at Face Gym. The day I leave for the wedding.
Did I try something new this week? Oh, there, I have a new vitamin. I was never like into supplements. I thought they were all nonsense until I hit my late 30s. And I was like, okay, it makes a big difference in my energy and how I look and how I feel. So I have now found, because I was on honestly the prenatal for so long. Yeah. and then I found the Metagenics Phytomulti with iron.
Which one?
It's very good.
Now, Metagenics are a great supplement, right?
That's what I have now.
A lot of supplements are bullshit because they don't have anything in them. They're stored really badly in the static, but they are consistently.
I like the Metagenics Phytomulti with iron. The iron, especially, like I have hair issues, as we've talked about a bunch. But
we're on Priyanka's hair journey, guys.
Always. So the iron, like the iron stores are super important for your follicles, but I really, really like it. I feel like my energy's been really good. I feel great. My skin's good. Yeah. Like I don't have to worry about it. So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah. Iron's a big factor for energy in a way that I didn't realize until I was very deficient and then had a supplement for 2 minutes. So I was like, guess I'm alive.
Yeah. And then the beauty thing I regretted, this is, you know what? I brought this up as something I really liked, which was the collagen peptides, which I really did like. But now that it's summer.
Yeah, you've turned
not
on.
Working.
Really?
Not working for me. I think it works in the winter because it makes me too greasy.
Oh, yeah.
And I break out.
Yeah.
I can take the collagen peptides in the winter. True.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy to do, but right now, absolutely not. My whole chin is like, it's disgusting. Yeah. I hate it. And the thing I'm looking forward to doing is a new thing I heard about. I like a facial. It's called the Clear and Brilliant. Have you heard of this?
No, I have not.
So it is called a Clear and Brilliant facial, and it like zaps like the outer layer of your skin. Apparently, it doesn't hurt.
I love a zap.
Costs $200. You have to do like three. You have to do like three to get like a real. And my friend who is 40 claims that she saw her friend the other day and she got it and she looks like she's like 25. So who knows?
Okay. Where can you get this done?
Anywhere. You look up Clear and Brilliant and it's like at any. It's like the new thing.
Okay. Clear and Brilliant. What's the method? What do they do?
Okay, let's look it up. Let's look it up right now. It's a laser resurfacing treatment. It stimulates collagen growth in the skin, resulting in a healthy glow, smoother texture, and more even color. It also apparently really gets rid of age spots.
Oh, really
like all the freckles and stuff. It just kind of shears them right off. And before you used to have to like pay a lot to get the IPL and then like the lasers would fake off. It would like hurt and like all that stuff. This apparently doesn't hurt. You just kind of get it done and you move on with your life and you have like 3 sessions and you're done.
You can't see my face right now, but I'm shook and I'm wondering how I get 3 sessions today.
They say it's preventative, but from all the accounts that I've seen, it's like just
the picture
just
of the
shave
woman
all this stuff
the
off your face
looks like she's in the middle of a psychotic episode. Though she like her skin looks amazing.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
she looks great. Yeah, but she's holding her head and screaming.
I'm gonna make an appointment. My friend Beth is getting it at the beginning of July, and she's gonna be the guinea pig. And then perfect. But she looks. I don't know. Yeah. She looks great.
I love being the guinea pig for weird beauty treatments. It's like discovering a new world.
Yeah, yeah. She's going to let us know. So that's wow. the thing. Absolutely.
These are very impressive before and afters.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, fine. Report back.
I will. Right. I'm going to do it late July. So, Bolu, is there anything coming? Yeah. You want to talk a little bit about your books coming out?
Oh, yeah,
so
I forgot about those.
What are you trying to sell?
We're just having a nice chat. Yeah. You got to plug.
I actually do work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a book coming out next spring, which is a romance anthology, which is basically modernizing, modern retellings of like folklore from around the world. I think it's called, the working title is Loving Color.
Oh,
it might be subject to change, but that's coming out next spring. They wanted to make it for Valentine's Day, and I was like, I can't do that.
Yeah, time.
Hold your horses,
calm down.
Yeah.
I have another novel that's coming out. We don't have a date for that.
Wow.
The working title for that is Honey and Spice, which sounds very like diaspora.
I will read it.
And it's a collegiate love story, so it's set in the ACS, which is like a black student union in the UK. And it's just like a love story based in that kind of heightened environment and community. And I also am working on a pilot that I don't know if I can talk about yet, but it's called Juice.
Ooh.
Yes. Juice. Like you got the juice. Mm. like sauce, but it's juice. So I'm just doing
amazing.
A lot. Oh yeah, I have a column at Days where I talk about TV, and I forgot.
Talk about all of it, and we can follow you on Twitter as we already do. But just in case you don't,
if you're not following Bolu, then you're dumb.
You don't even tweet a lot of shit about
my crushes, and I stalk celebrities like Michael B. Jordan.
You wrote something yesterday that was collecting pictures with your crushes, like Infinity Stones, and
God, we didn't even get to the Michael B. Jordan. We didn't even get to the Michael B. Jordan story.
So funny.
Are you guys friends now?
I mean, we're married, so
I guess we're.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, we're like divorced now, but straight. I don't want to talk about it, actually. It's emotional. Well,
thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for staying in our
been an honor.
Studio. Such a convenience.
Honestly, it was the commute was a nightmare.
It's so wonderful to meet
it's
you.
It's been
thank
an honor.
You
thank you so much for having me.
All right.
Bye. Earios. Powered by Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.